All right. I've been talking about this half million mobilization the denomination has been pushing, and it's a day of prayer, and that day is today. So we're actually going to be joining half a million Nazarenes in prayer. So here's a real just short video about this, and we're going to enter into a time of prayer together. At this point, the denomination has sent out these five kind of words to pray over. So for the churches in USA, Canada, we're praying for protection, direction, revelation, renewal, and resurgence. Right? It's no secret that church attendance and church function, especially after COVID in America, is declining. And so the denomination has sensed this urgency So right now, if everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing, this will be half a million of us at one time praying for one or for these specific things. I think that's a very powerful tool to harness in on. So I've asked Matt Wolf to come and pray for the first two. He is our church board secretary. If you didn't know, he's a very important person in the church. If I were to get injured or whatever, he's in charge. So he's the man. So Matt's going to pray for protection and direction. Pastor Kirsten's going to pray for revelation, and then I'll finish up with renewal and resurgence. Join us however you would like to do that. I mean, we do have altars if you would like to come and pray at the altar. Pray in your seats, make yourself comfortable, but we're going to join in with half a million others at this time and pray. So would you pray with us?
Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you on behalf of our brothers and sisters in the Nazarene Church, upon which we ask, God, your protection. We pray, Father God, that you would put your hand of protection upon our believers, our pastors, as they boldly proclaim your truth, Lord. We know that in all across the land, it's not always legal to proclaim your word, especially in the nation of Canada. We pray, Father, for the protection of our pastors. We pray also, Lord, that you would direct your church, that you would pour your spirit out upon your pastors, upon the church. We would see revival, God. We pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would lead us in the way that you would want us to go, that you would direct our paths, God, that you would lead the pastors and allow us as lay leaders to follow where you're wanting us to go. Father, we pray in Jesus' name these things.
Our Father, I come before you today and ask that you would give us a revelation. I pray for the Nazarene Church in USA and Canada, and just ask that your mission and purpose would be revealed to us. We know that you have given us a purpose here on earth to spread the gospel and to be the light of the world, but I pray for discernment and wisdom specifically in how to be the light in our individual churches, in our specific ministries, God. I want to ask that you would put our passion to live out this mission to good use. And God, I pray that you would use these prayers across the nation, Lord, that they would be integral and incremental into mobilizing our churches to be a powerful force for your glory and your love to pour out onto our nation. And Lord, I just pray for leadership and that you would help us to see clearly where you're leading, and that you would just help us all to live out this mission and this purpose, and be your light here on earth. And I ask these things in Jesus' name.
God, we come to you asking for renewal and resurgence. God, just get a hold of our hearts. And we're praying for revival, not just here in Middletown and not just in Indiana or even in the USA, but God, across our whole region of USA, Canada, thousands and thousands of churches. And God, what a force of resurgence that would be if we were to just commit to you. God, help us. Help us to be the light in a very dark world. Help us to do what you've called us to do. God, if we're just here in these walls, we really aren't accomplishing much. God, help this mobilization of prayer just spark a revival across the country, a resurgence of your church. God, help us to go outside of these walls and love our community better, to show people who you are. God, I can't imagine the power that 500,000 prayers have. But God, I'm expecting something awesome. And so this morning, as we move on in this worship service, God, we just want to proclaim how great you are. God, we ask for your protection, direction, revelation, renewal, and resurgence. God, help us to get in line with what you're doing. Renew our hearts and revitalize our church. God, we just love you and we submit to you, and we just want to honor you and glorify you in how we live, how we think, how we treat others. God, give us your grace, your boldness, and your strength and your wisdom to live this out. God, we love you, we praise you, and we give the rest of this service to you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you guys. We are, I guess our normal prayer time, an update on Marty Ballard. He has been moved to Anderson in the Bennett Recovery Center. And he texted me this morning and said he took some very, very excruciating steps. So he is still in a lot of pain, but he is progressing. So praise God for the progress. Please continue to pray for the pain, and you know, God hears our request here. But we love you, Marty. Hopefully you're able to sit through this and watch with us, and we're praying for you. So okay. We are starting a new series. We kind of finished up on we talked about resurrecting hope, and we looked at two different resurrections. And so this one is called Rooted, Grow Deep and Live Strong. So this is, I think, is going to be a four-week series. But kind of on that topic of rooted, do we have any green thumbs in the house? Anybody like to garden or good at gardening, can keep things alive? Man, not very many of you. Okay, we're in trouble. I hope all of the farmers at least raised their hands. Whew, goodness, we're in big trouble if not, right? Did you know green thumb is, it really doesn't even mean that you can grow anything. It just means that you at least try. So this expression comes from earthenware or terracotta, whatever you want to say, those clay pots, right? You know, they grow algae on them. So a green thumb is a person who would essentially just be handling these pots. So, which would imply, right, that you, this is how my brain works, it would imply that you grow a lot or try, but could have just been the guy washing the pots, right? No, yeah, isn't that weird when you think about it? Anyway, they would turn people's thumbs green and fingers, but green thumb is a lot easier to say. So that's where the word green thumb comes from. But it's someone who is working a lot, you would think, with soil and plants and seeds and all of these things So that is where we get the expression green thumb. So all of you, whether your garden is immaculate like this, and here in Indiana, I'm assuming this is one of your gardens at home, one of your flower bed hedges areas, but that's kind of cool actually. But whether you can do this with your plant or whether you're like the rest of us who can barely, you get a house plant and it ends up looking like that. Anybody? The rest of us? Okay. Yep. Yeah. We have a few plants we've been able to keep alive in our house, but we've had our fair share of those as well. But in I like to garden. We garden because I like free vegetables, right? That's pretty much where it is. But our garden always ends up the same, where we start out very, very strong, and then by the time, what is it, maybe like August, September, when things are winding down, yet you still have 100,000 tomatoes for some reason, and you're just sick of canning them and doing things with them, and it goes to weeds, right? Anybody else been there? Or you're just like, I'm so sick of trying to tend this stinking thing, and weeds are everywhere, looks terrible, whatever. Well, we just recently put this greenhouse in at our house to try and, you like spend a bunch of money to try to save a little money, that was this. Maybe in 10 years it'll pay for itself, right, in the cost of plants, but for now, we're way more money in than we are saving. But we put this little greenhouse up, and the intricacies, first of all, if you've ever put together anything from IKEA, this is like 10 times worse. Like, it came in two small boxes, and it was like, I would be fine to just carry the walls, and then stand them up, screw them together, and we're done. But I had to put every little piece together. It took 2 days. It was horrible. Anyway, the intricacies of raising plants and growing things and too hot, too cold, not enough water, too much sun, not enough sun. I mean, it's a mess trying to keep up with it. You have to vent the thing, and then, I went in there yesterday, the day before, it was like 125 degrees in there. I was like, that can't be good, right? Everywhere that it's 125 degrees, plants don't grow, right? So I'm in trouble, right? There is a lot of heat in there, and you have to really, really focus and pay attention and make sure all your soil elements are right and there's enough nutrients and water, but not too much, because then they, I don't know how anybody keeps plants alive, really. You guys are impressive that do. But we have the ability, right, to make soil more or less fertile by how we treat it, by what we do with the soil. So you can put the worm castings and all your amendments in, or you can just dig a shovel down and what you get's what you get, right? And it could be clay, it could be rocks, it could be anything. And it might not grow, like you were intending. So we have the ability to kind of change soil, change the makeup and the chemistry so that it will grow, right? We also have the ability to royally mess it up by not using the right ratios or adding too much or too little of the right or wrong thing. So it's in thinking through this, it really is the same with the gospel, right? The gospel is this, think of the gospel as like a seed, right? It's this seed that can be planted in our hearts. So if the gospel is the seed, our heart is the soil, right? And we have that same ability to either make our heart this place that is barren and useless or this place that is fertile and growing. And so today we're going to talk about this this parable that's probably very familiar to you guys, but this is how we're going to kick this series off. So the point is, for our hearts, kingdom connection depends on heart condition, right? You guys following? Kingdom connection depends on heart condition. You can't be close to God if the gospel can't grow within your own heart, if you're not doing anything to tend that soil, to make that a growing environment, the connection to God is going to be less and less and less. So that's kind of where we're landing today. Matthew 13 is where we'll be, verses 1 through 9 for starts, and I'll go ahead and read that if you want to read along with me. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, but the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. The other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Other seed fell on good soil, where it had produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. And that's where Jesus stops this parable, right? So, we see the parable of the sower, this fella, farmer, he's just kind of, it sounds like he's throwing seeds willy-nilly, right? And there's four different environments close by that these seeds can hit. There's some rocks, there's a path, there's some brambles and thorns, and then there's probably the plot that he intended them to hit, which is the fertile soil, right? So Jesus is telling this story about these seeds getting eaten up by birds or getting choked out by thorns or getting withered and scorched by the sun because of no soil. And then he talks about the ones who fell on fertile ground producing 100 or 60 or 30 times more than what was sown. So, we're not going to read verses 10 through 17, but it's basically Jesus is in this boat and he says these parables to these people, and then the disciples start questioning him. And so he talks about how the kingdom of God has secrets, and that Isaiah prophesied that not all people would understand, that there would be some that have eyes but not see and ears but not hear. And then he said some are just going to miss the point, right? So then, about, I don't know, 8 or 9 verses later, we're picking up in verse 18 through 23. Jesus then to his disciples explains the parable. So he says this, verse 18, says, "Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word at once and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown." So, we're going to spend these last few minutes just kind of diving into these four different hearts that Jesus lays out. That's going to set up what we're talking about for the next 3 weeks. So the first one, a distant heart is barren. A distant heart is barren. This is the heart that was cast along the path, right? So we know of paths is that they're worn down. Nothing grows on it, right? When I think of, distant could also mean like hardened or maybe just oblivious. There's, you know, but distant from God. So a distant heart is barren. So when I think about a barren place, I think about the, I've never been, I want to go. Have any of you been to the Bonneville Salt Flats in Utah before? A few of you, awesome. So what I've learned about this place is that this place is 90% table salt, like just on the ground. There used to be a very big lake there, I guess, and over time it drained down and left these elements, and now it is just this big flat place of salt where nothing can grow. It is completely barren, like more barren, because at least in the desert, you know, you've got cactuses or certain things that will spring up, or there's maybe like animals that live and eat insects or whatever. But there is nothing on this place, right? And part of the year, it's so salty, it holds a few inches of water, and it looks like a giant lake, I guess, but it's not. It's just a couple inches on top of all this salt. And there was some big science-y explanation for it, and I tried to remember it for you guys. I really did, but it wasn't within me. So there's a reason. If you're curious, look it up. It's fascinating, but I couldn't begin to pretend to know how all that came to be. The point is, big, giant, flat, open space, and you could pretty much just pick up some and salt your food with it and be on your way. Crazy that this exists. Hearts are barren, right? In the context of hearts, we get like this because of rejection of the gospel, right? Or because of being oblivious to the gospel. One of them's pretty adamant. The other one's pretty innocent, right? I mean, if we're oblivious, if no one's really told us about Jesus, how are we supposed to know, right? How is our heart supposed to be softened and open and fertile to the gospel? But some have been close to God at one point or have been introduced to the gospel and just said, that's not for me, right? And so these are the hearts that Jesus is talking about, these barren places that don't accept a seed, or that a seed is not going to grow. In fact, it's just going to sit right on top and a bird's going to come by and snatch it up. So whether omission or volition, right, whether it's of our own doing or because we've just not been introduced, neither heart will produce fruit, right? There's nothing that we can do on our own without Jesus, without the seed of the gospel, without the Holy Spirit living within us, that will produce fruit for the kingdom of God. We are too sinful in nature. We don't have this ability without the saving grace of Jesus to produce any fruit for the kingdom of God. So that's the first one. So the question is, who do you know out of this that needs introduced or reintroduced to the gospel? Be thinking about that. Who do we know in our lives that needs introduced or reintroduced to the gospel? And then the second is, how can we creatively present Jesus to a barren heart, right? How can we in this day and age present Jesus creatively to a barren heart? Oh, I didn't change it. Number two, that says one, but it is number two. If all these are one, that's going to be really funny, but I honestly couldn't tell you. Number two, a troubled heart produces shallow roots. A troubled heart produces shallow roots. So have you ever seen a plant growing out of a sidewalk, or maybe you have one growing out of your sidewalk, right? But we see these plants in these unconventional, weird places sometimes where they've just happened to fall in the right spot and spring up, right? And you look at that and you think, boy, there's no way, right? I know there's no way that's going to survive. There's no way that's going to grow because there's just rocks underneath of this and other old asphalt and all kinds of things that won't produce any fruit. Shallow roots do not hold up to catastrophe, right? And we're just talking about in nature right now. Shallow roots do not hold up to catastrophe. So imagine that those two little tiny plants, imagine those are in the middle of a road, right? And a car comes by. What happens to those two plants? Yeah, they're dead, right? They're dead. They don't exist anymore. That big giant oak tree, if a car runs into that, that tree's not going to feel that, right? It won't even know because it is so dug in and growing huge, and it's producing, well, acorns aren't really fruit, but you get the idea. It's producing fruit. It's this huge thing. And so the rocks with the shallow roots, they don't hold up to catastrophe. So what Jesus was saying there is, no matter what comes along, right, if your roots are deep, you're going to be able to weather storms. The shallow hearts will not survive adverse condition. Shallow hearts will not survive adverse condition. It's any adversity, tragedy, financial struggles, whatever it may be, if your heart's not rooted, if it's just this shallow relationship, this shallow version of the gospel, or you've just kind of said, I'll do that, but not, you know, it's never going to go anywhere. We can't expect our faith to weather the storm if our roots are shallow. And so in thinking through this, I think of like people who have, and I've been guilty of this myself too, but maybe when you were a kid, you went and you experienced God at a VBS, or you went to Shiloh Park at camp meeting and you had this great spiritual experience, or maybe you went to a conference and heard Francis Chan speak, or maybe you went to this concert and had this awesome worship experience, and then you're like, okay, so I've encountered God, but then you went home and nothing ever came of it, or or you, I just wish I could feel that again. But you didn't dive into Scripture. You didn't pray regularly. You didn't worship God. You didn't serve or give of your time or your resources to advance the kingdom. But you're just kind of longing for that spiritual high. And that's maybe what started that growth in your heart. But now it's kind of faded, right? That's not enough. These mountaintop encounters are not enough to just get us through whatever life throws at us. We have to be in a deep-rooted relationship with Jesus. So we have to tend our soil to grow deep roots. We have to tend our soil to grow deep roots. Number three, a distracted heart bears no fruit. A distracted heart bears no fruit. So this is the landscape of the weeds, right? Where Jesus was talking about some seeds fell among the thorns and the weeds, and they grew up and then got choked out by all the weeds. I was looking for a visual representation of this, and I came across this from an orange citrus growers community or whatever. But apparently, there's this vine. It said vines, like vine weeds, are the worst thing that you can introduce to citrus groves because they do this. So that is a citrus tree. If you've seen an orange or lemon or whatever tree, you see oranges and lemons on them, right? They're usually full of them. This is one that has been choked out by this vine. The tree is still very much alive, but it can't produce fruit, right? And that's pretty much verbatim what they said about this stuff. It won't kill the tree, but it'll choke it to where it can't produce oranges or lemons anymore, and it eliminates its purpose. A heart that puts worldly things over kingdom work will no longer grow. A heart that puts worldly things over kingdom work will no longer grow. So, if we're chasing money, right, or if we're chasing power or status or what people think about us, if we're chasing accolades and awards or, you know, the litany of things can go on and on and on. But if we're chasing these things that glorify ourselves, or that a good way to gauge it, that end, you know, when we die, like that trophies and money and status, that stuff's all, that stays here, right? If we're chasing worldly things, then we're going to have a hard time growing the gospel within us. So the point is, be careful what you let into your soil, right? Be careful what you let in. Be careful what you allow to grow alongside of the gospel in your heart. If it's a love of money or an addiction or whatever the case may be, it's going to choke out your purpose, your mission, what you're supposed to be doing for the kingdom of God. You'll no longer be able to bear fruit. It's very, very easy in this world to become distracted. Amen? Yeah. Advertising companies are really, really good at it, aren't they? Really good at distracting us and taking us off of what we're supposed to be thinking about. It's tough. Number four, a fertile heart sustains life. This is obviously the section of land that Jesus was talking about, where the seed fell on fertile land and it produced 160, 30 times more than what was sown. Have you ever had volunteer pumpkins before? Okay, cool. I'm not the only one. You just, when you're done with your pumpkins, you just kind of chuck it somewhere, right? And then it pops up. You got pumpkins all of a sudden. We did that. We had goats for a long time. We fed our pumpkins to our goats, and they missed a couple seeds. And within that goat pen became this little pumpkin plant. I mean, that was where we got our pumpkins the next year. We weren't planning on it, but that's where they were. It was really awesome. But the point is, that seed landed on soil that wasn't really being tended by me, but it was being fertilized and trimmed down and fertilized every day by those goats, right? And so that was being worked constantly, and it was so fertile that you didn't even have to plant. You just let a goat eat a pumpkin, and then all of a sudden it grows, right? It couldn't help but grow. This soil was so fertile. It wasn't even trying to grow, but it did. Fertile hearts can't help but produce fruit, right? If our heart is fertile, if this stuff isn't in the way, if we're not distracted or distant from God, or if we're not just playing this fake, shallow relationship. We can't help but produce fruit, and it's what we think about, and it's what we want to do. Fertile hearts can't help but produce fruit. And the other thing is that fertile hearts impact those around them. So we went from the citrus tree. Check out this apple tree, right? This apple tree was made to produce apples, right? And it's doing that. And so for itself, it is reproducing its species, I guess, right? Is that the right word for tree? Okay. So it's reproducing its species, which is what it was supposed to do. But it's so fertile that it is impacting so many other things around it. It's providing, it could feed a couple dozen people, right? It could provide shade for someone who needs to sit down. It's providing, it's sustaining a bunch of pollinating insects, right? There's so many who are producing honey then to go with the apple pie. I mean, this is a productive tree, right? When you think about it, it's not just impacting, well, I'm an apple tree, I make apples. It's by being so fertile and so healthy, it's impacting all these other groups and things around it. Are you following me? Okay. Fertile hearts can't help but produce, and they can't help but impact others. So, in this concept, if the gospel is the seed and our heart is the soil, what condition is your soil in this morning? What condition is your soil in this morning? Is it distant and barren? Are you away from God? Maybe this is your first time hearing about Jesus. Are you in that mode where you're just not connected at all? Or is it troubled and shallow? It's there, but as soon as that next storm comes, it's probably not, right? I know who God is, but I'm not ready to actually face adversity. Or is it distracted and smothered, right? Maybe you've been in the church for a long time, but other stuff's just kind of got in the way and choked out what is needing to be produced. Or is it fertile and producing? The gospel has the best opportunity to spread when it is planted in fertile hearts, right? The gospel has the best opportunity to spread when our hearts are ready to receive it and we're locked in and ready to grow. So, final question. What areas of your heart need tending today? Would you pray with me? Father, we come to you humbled that you would even love us enough to let us in on these secrets of the kingdom. God, give us ears to hear this today. God, help us to tend what needs tending. We know that by the power of your Holy Spirit, we are transformed. But God, we have to say yes, and we have to be willing, and we have to surrender. Help us to do that today. Help us to dive deeper into Scripture. Help us to worship you more, serve you more. Make our hearts such a producing place that when the gospel is planted, we just overflow with mission and grace and love and purpose. So God, as we leave this place today, we just ask that you would keep that fresh in our minds, that you would just urge us and prompt us to be thinking of our hearts as this place to grow your gospel and to grow your word and advance your kingdom. God, we just love you and we praise you and we glorify you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. The worship band's going to sing. If you have a burden you're dealing with, or you just would like to take this time to respond to something that God's been saying to you this service, our altars are always open. Feel free to come and do that or stay in your seat. But just take this time and reflect and respond to God. Would you stand and sing with us?